Also in this July 14 show, another point made, the privatization mechanisms of power, and this includes state ownership. It don't matter if the state tells us we're free. We ain't if our, you know, I've been saying this for a while now. You got to wake up in the morning and say, yeah, what do I want to do today? Scratch our heads, look at the options before us, and know there ain't no power riding us. So as long as power exists, they have to claim exclusive ownership of the resources. That's by definition. That's what power means. Also, the processes at work that determine the conditions under which we live are best described not as capitalism, but rather the progressive tightening of the noose called the total control of humans. And that it is within this earth truth that servants of state ply their trade, and on which they establish the results of their craft. And it is craft. All the ideologies that grant power cover. Also, we said the accumulation process is the accumulation of means by which power shapes the future it wants. That's what they're about. I mean, they tell us that straight up, like Kissinger did in On China, and we never hear it discussed. I mean, it's the obvious discussion, right? They see their role as shaping the future. And we are just passively going along because they've created a situation for us in which we can barely figure out how to live day to day. And that alone should tell us this is wrong. Come on. All right. Well, hopefully after today's show, or after folks have had time to, if you share the information from this show, and please copy and share around Wallerstein's words, get those discussions going, because I ain't hearing it over the airwaves. And this should be the only thing we think about till we get this figured out. I mean, people, they call themselves the left, and yet they aren't saying we need to define the future. We should not allow ourselves to be given the future. This is for all of us to decide. And after considering Wallerstein's words, we'll know that the future is being designed, and it ain't about maintaining status quo. It's about figuring out how to survive our waking up. I mean, we have to decide this and start talking about it. We've been treated as children, and we've gone along with it because we haven't had the means to have these discussions and share knowledge, truth with each other. But now we do. The circumstances have changed. So power is actively shaping the future it wants. And this is the part omitted in the left scholars' analysis generally. Power's motivation. We've all been trained to think of this motive as just about greed. But strict greed has never been the chief motivation of human beings. Rather, accumulation has always been means for filling that abyss called lack of recognition, but which manifests as hubris. Also, the state has been captured by the global economy, and it cannot be claimed by the people. And then also, lastly, the state cannot survive the expansion of our individualities. And this is why I focus so much on it. It's that simple and that hard. We, each of us, have to want to be big. But it's hard because they systematically tell us the opposite, that we can't. And they use as evidence, you know, the folks they've elevated to say, well, you can't be like this, folks who devote their lives to developing their art and whatnot, or thinking, or using their minds, and, you know, that's all they do. So they're propped up there to impress us and to make us feel less. We've arrived at the point in our human story when we can conclusively say that the state is not, will never be, the way we can achieve our freedom. And we have to be certain of this to proceed. So let's get those conversations going. But then the question whose presence is begged is, what is? Given that the state and the market comprise of eyes that seemingly traps us, until we decide to use our power of flight to soar above it, evolution of the species. But this is easier said than done, isn't it? As most of us are living from money infusion to money infusion, eyes fixed on that anticipated inflow. Of course, despite this, we've done it before. Revolution's never easy. As N.C. Stan said, we talked about his article on Turkey last week. And we're talking evolution. However, it can be done once we have a goal. It's as simple and hard as that, which I believe is best captured in the compound word. Compound is best, I think, as they'd have to corrupt all three simultaneously, a difficult co-optation. Freedom, leisure, happiness, freely happy, as each piece of the whole is interdependent with the others. I've been arguing that the U.S. has a greater responsibility in the global effort to end power because our experience is most advanced with this ideology trap that power has left called democracy. We living under the steady eye of state surveillance, our options in life strictly limited by rank, our connections with all life stripped down to watering potted plants and feeding dogs, or at most one's personal child to rule. As Alice Miller showed us, the family is a little totalitarian state in microcosm. We are able to see clearly at this juncture that democracy is not freedom, however fancifully freedom is defined. Further, we have the advantage of a fragment in this U.S. state's legal framework which grants the right to pursue happiness. This, added to the relatively privileged strategic position of this state at this historic juncture, at which it can be clearly seen that each nation state is integrated into a hierarchical world system which structures the possibilities of place through power's control of access to credit, credit being the means by which power shapes the future it wants. So the advantage of the left here in the U.S., in conjunction with the advantage of this historical moment, places the onus on us to advance the human race to freedom. It's incumbent on us to begin and to place our feet carefully based on seeing reality, on the need to confront the actual character of the trap in which we're stuck.